In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Father, tonight we thank you for your presence in this place. I'm asking by the power of your word and the ministry of your spirit that you touch every life here, those watching from their homes, from their places of work, in every place where our people are gathered, in Yola, in Biu, in Abuja, in Kaduna, in Lagos, in the United Kingdom, Ghana, South Africa, the United States, wherever they are gathered watching right now, whatever time zone, I pray that you minister mightily to them now. Let your word bring comfort and bring healing to us. Let everyone that is sick be healed. Let everyone that came here with any kind of trouble not go back with it. Let your name be exalted and magnified forever. Let your people see Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. That's not the amen of a believer. Would you clap your hands for Jesus? Hallelujah. Now you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I welcome you to Pneumatech. Please pay attention tonight. The word of God coming today, I believe, is a message for this season. I believe is a prophetic message. I want you to listen with your heart open and trust the Lord to grant you understanding. And I pray that this word, amongst many things, will bring healing and comfort to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you pray in 1 minute and ask the Lord to speak to your heart? There's nothing I know, never come close. Nothing can compare. You are living whole. Please pray for 1 minute. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight, I want to teach on something. I myself, left for me, I feel I'm not qualified to teach on this. Because maybe one way or the other, I may be defaulting. But on Monday, this week, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is what to teach on this season, this Sunday. And I believe that just like this month, it seems to be a spiritual month and a month of prayer. God is also doing a lot of work and a lot of repair in the heart, in the lives, and even in the midst of his people. I took so much time to pray and cry to God that this word, amongst many things, will bring healing to his people. In the name of Jesus. Dealing with offenses. In bracket, you can put healing the church. Dealing with offenses. Healing the church. This is a very broad teaching. Father, I ask that you help me to conserve time, because this thing is enough for 2 or 3 days. Amen. In fact, this time, I pray in the name of Jesus that you cooperate with me. Amen. I mean, you need to see what I have there. And even after finishing it this afternoon, few minutes to three, I still felt like all I did was just one quarter. You know, it's not easy to teach the word of God as an apostle. Already we are global. And so, many, many more people who are not even connected to this family of faith, but who are believers, will listen to this. And so, it takes a lot of wisdom, a lot of discipline. You need utterance, so you don't speak and be found on an extreme. Something that every kind of believer will listen to. Amen? And I just pray that God will help us tonight. But believe me, you will be blessed by what you will hear. In Jesus' name. Dealing with offenses, healing the church. Matthew chapter 11 verse 1 to 6. Matthew chapter 11 verse 1 to 6. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples. Oh, by the way, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Let's clap for every father that is here and that is watching right now. Amen. When they mention happy, if I saw a bias, I remember when we did Women's Day, Mother's Day, the whole place was erupting. Why are men always at the receiving end? I say clap for all the fathers. Amen. Some brothers are not clapping. You don't want to clap for your father. You will not be a father. You will not be a father yourself. Oh. Amen. Of all the names that God has, the one that he calls himself is what? I know why you didn't talk, you didn't say it. But it's just the truth. We thank God for every father, biologically or spiritually. It's not easy to father people, to raise children, to be responsible, and have them look at you as though it's your duty. And they don't appreciate. May God strengthen every father here. And I want to beg mothers and children to learn to appreciate fathers. Amen. It's not difficult to say thank you. It will not make us proud. It makes us feel appreciated. You know, I think it's an African thing sometimes. But it's difficult for women to always acknowledge men. I don't know why. They feel that when they do so, you know, you are adding to the man's ego. It's not true. Men go through a lot. Amen? Men go through a lot. Is that true? If you don't agree with me, you will be a father very soon. Amen. Men go through a lot. I understand that sadly there are some who are irresponsible fathers and bad fathers, but we need to thank God for the good ones we have seen. Especially those who are spiritual fathers. It is not easy to nurture people in the fear of the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Adults who behave like children. It's not easy to love people with their flaws, to correct them and accept them, to create a platform for them to grow, to give them a platform that announces them, and yet you are not concerned that they will outshine you. And I'm not just talking about myself, no. Even I am here today because there are fathers that God has placed strategically in different seasons of my life. So that you can enjoy, if you enjoy fatherhood from me, is because somebody showed me what fatherhood is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the reasons why we have dysfunctional societies today is because many families have not experienced what it means to be a father. When you have an irresponsible man or you have an evil individual. So I pray for all the fathers here that God will strengthen you. That God will increase you. Bamanga, you didn't say amen. I pray that God will increase you. Give you so much more money. and help you to know the Lord and to model Him as Father to your family and to your community. Everybody say amen to that. So can we get back to the scriptures now? All right. Matthew 11 from verse 1, dealing with offenses. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding His 12 disciples that He departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" He told them to say to Jesus, because John was in prison. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Read verse 6 together at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." John the Baptist was already thrown into prison because of his issue with Herod the king. After he identified Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, many people began to go to Jesus. Jesus began to have crusades and campaigns and meetings. Obviously, it looked like Jesus had stolen the crowd from John. He had stolen the spotlight. But Jesus didn't really do that. John, it was his assignment, it was his mission to declare and to proclaim the Lamb of God. John is a foreigner. He was meant, the Bible says there was a man sent from God, John chapter 1 verse 6, and his name was John. You see, he was not the light, but he was sent to proclaim the true light. That means the moment John said in John chapter 1, "Behold the Lamb of God," the moment he showed everyone that this was the Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry has ended. We're not supposed to hear anything about him again till his death. When it comes to the assignment of destiny and purpose, we don't choose for ourselves. It is the Creator that chooses. He decides for one to be at the background. He decides for another to be on the spotlight. He decides for one to be the face. He decides for another one to be the spine that nobody sees. The glory of your destiny is not how announced you are for the world to see. It's not fame. The glory of your destiny is when you are able to come to the accurate fulfillment of all that God designed concerning you. If you are able to manifest that which was written about you, whether they know you or not, that is the glory of your destiny. Because in the night, if you look at the sky, you see stars shining. Some shine brighter. Some shine very faint that you may not notice them. But they are all in the sky and they are all stars. John the Baptist was thrown into prison. And just like every other normal human being, he became offended at many things. First of all, offended that Herod did that to him. Offended also that the children of Israel did not come or did not stage a riot. "Release John, release John. Where were all the people gathering before you in River Jordan?" This was a one-time public figure, a social influencer, a national icon, thrown into jail. You would have thought that for 7 days they would block all the streets in Jerusalem. Everybody forgot him and went to Jesus. Then, to make matters worse, his own cousin, Jesus, whom he directed to, he helped his ministry. He used his fame to announce Jesus. Is that not how we look at it as human beings? Did Jesus even come to visit him or send food? So he sent his two disciples, say, "Go and ask that guy, are you the one to come or should we expect another?" Do you know the meaning of that statement? If you are really what I say you are, you should have come for me. And Jesus understood. That's why Jesus ended his reply to John the Baptist by saying this, "Blessed is he who is not offended. It's not my fault you were thrown into jail. It's not my fault you had an issue with Herod. But while you are in jail, let me continue from where you stop. At least the gospel of the kingdom must be preached. Imagine if Jesus left the crusades and everything and was going to check on John, was trying to get a lawyer to argue John's case in court. Who will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the nation of Israel? And how will Jesus fulfill his mandate to hang on the cross for the sins of mankind? Are you getting something? Are you here at all? Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 to 9. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 to 9, Jesus warned about offenses. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone, you know what a millstone is? That stone they used to grind pepper. Okay, I understand. Many of you were born where they started using grater, blender and all kinds of things. Well, when we were born, we knew that thing. One small stone against another big stone and they grind. Say amen to that. Some of you, I pray that you'll never be poor, because if anything happens that makes you poor, you can't cope. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, many of you will not be able to cope. So just remain rich in Jesus' name. Amen. See then. Amen. All right, that was just a joke. He says it's better for that stone to be hung around the neck because it's heavy and be drowned in the sea. Go on. He said, woe to the world because of offenses. Now, from the first verse, what Jesus means is that it's better that you are not the one that will cause another believer to sin. If he's saying that it's better for you to be drowned in the sin than for you to cause any believer to sin, Jesus is saying, don't even be the one that will make other people sin and fall away from the faith. Not through your words, not through your actions, not through your conduct. Do we understand? He said, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. What Jesus was saying here, because he was using a figure of speech, of course Jesus didn't mean cut your hand, short sleeve or long sleeve, no. What Jesus was saying is avoid offenses by any means. Why? Because there is a tendency that offenses may lead you to hell. Jesus was the one that used hell there. So I don't know when another pastor will say, once you are saved, you can't go to hell. When Baba, that came to die for sin, say there is a possibility that you as a believer can go to hell fire. He even put fire. Do we understand that? As little as offenses are, Jesus says, anything that will make you offended, get rid of it quickly and continue your Christian race. Otherwise, you are at risk of losing your eternal salvation and going to hell. Who said it? Jesus. Verse 15 of the same chapter to verse 20. You know, me, I want to follow Jesus in these last days where you don't know what is true and what is false again. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in a man. You know that song? Me, I want to follow Jesus. Anything Jesus didn't say, anything he says. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Moreover, if your brother sins against you, if your brother offends you, go and tell him his fault. Don't wait for him to come and realize that he offended you and come to you. He said, you go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Rather than gossiping it with another person, this person make me vex. He said, you boldly go and tell him. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Now, when the Bible says go and tell him, he didn't say go and fight. Allow me to talk my mind. You know, you have started offending him. No. He said, but if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he refuses to hear you, even as soft spoken as you are, go and bring some other brethren to come with you and say, this my brother offended me, but I don't want this to come between me and him. I want us to make peace. If he refuses to repent and concede the fact that he offended you, the Bible says, even if he refuses to repent before you or refuses to hear the ones you came with, he said, go and tell the church. Let the church now beg him. Say, our brother, come. You did this before this person. It is not good. Please apologize to him so that there will be peace between the two of you. He said, if he refuses to hear the church, that's a degrading level of stubbornness. He says, let him be to you like a hidden or a tax collector. In other words, that's the kind of person to avoid. If he will not be broken before you or before two or three brethren or before the whole church to accept that he did wrong and apologize and seek forgiveness, if he's not as broken as that, he says avoid him. That's what he means by letting be to you a tax collector and a hidden. You know, in those days in Israel, tax collectors were forbidden. They felt that they were sinners because they were fraudulent. When they were collecting tax, they will increase it, collect, and put some in their pocket. You remember Matthew, one of the disciples of Jesus, was a tax collector. And when Jesus called Matthew to follow him, Matthew invited Jesus for a lunch, made a great feast in his house. And Jesus, of course, Jesus never said no to food. In Jesus' name. No, Jesus, especially when you invite him to your house. No, he never shut down. The Pharisees came and said, you are eating with sinners. But Matthew was also a son of Israel. Why will you call him a sinner? Did the Bible not say that all have sinned? If the Bible is saying we should treat a particular believer as a tax collector, it's saying when a believer is unrepentant and is given to committing offense, avoid him, ostracize him, relegate him, so that that attitude will not bring a poison of hate in the church. The Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. John chapter 16 verse 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Do you have it in King James translation? King James translation. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be. So God doesn't want us to entertain offenses or to be caught up in the web of an offense. Now, the objectives of this teaching is going to be the following. First of all, we'll clearly define offenses and what it means to be offended. Number two, we'll look at common critical issues that lead to offenses or what it means to be offended. Number three, we'll look at how to deal with offenses and offended people. Number four, we'll look at how to heal from the wounds of an offense. If you are the one that was offended, how you can heal from it. Number five, we'll look at how to avoid offenses. Are you ready? Let's go. Let's start by defining offense or offenses. Number one, here are the definition of offense or offenses. Number one, it means a breach of a law or rule. A breach of a law or rule. An illegal act. When somebody commits an offense, he has broken the law. He has broken a rule. It's illegal. And he can be prosecuted for it. That's one meaning of the word offense or offenses. Number two, it means annoyance or resentment. Annoyance or resentment. Annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult. Annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult. By a perceived insult to or disregard for oneself. Annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult to or disregard for oneself. Number three, another definition of offense, a cause or occasion of sin. A cause or occasion of sin. Put in brackets, stumbling block. Anything that causes somebody to sin. The Bible will refer to it as a stumbling block, right? Anything that provokes an individual to err. That's the meaning of that third definition. If you've noted all that, please say amen. Amen. But because of the teaching tonight, you see that we are going to partner more with the second definition. Annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult or disregard for oneself. When you become annoyed or resentful, what does it mean to be resentful? English people. More than half of this congregation are graduates. Some of you have masters, even PhD. Don't embarrass me here. People are watching from Canada, from US. Amen. Now so that they do when I ask question. Alright, what does it mean to be resentful? I'm just joking with you now. Somebody wants to get offended by that one now. Now wow. What does it mean to be resentful? Huh? Oh yeah, check Google now. Don't look at me. Check with all those powerful phones you have, iPhone, and some of you are just smiling, looking at me. Huh? Say, Baba, dress fine today. Check it. What does it mean to be resentful? Time is going. Yes, anybody? Huh? It means to be hateful. Somebody that is filled with hate. Why? Because he's annoyed. He was offended. He felt insulted, especially if he's a man. He felt insulted. His ego was insulted. Now, if it is a woman versus another woman, that's the worst insult. Somehow, women can take anything from anybody except another woman. That's when their jealousy will soak clothes and come out. Is that true? No, say the truth now and shame the devil. Is it true? Especially when it's a younger woman. When I marry, where you day? Amen. That's what it means to be offended. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 10 to 12, Jesus was speaking about the signs of the end time. And one of the things Jesus pointed out that we'll see in the end time is offenses. Many people will be annoyed and resentful, hateful, because they felt insulted or because somebody did something to them. And then shall many be offended. And out of their being offended, they shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Are you seeing the things that happen when somebody is offended? His heart becomes a breeding ground for betrayal. After all, when you hurt me, do me, I do you, one. Verse 11, let's continue. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. That's also what leads to people being offended in church, when they are deceived. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Means that we are going to live in a loveless generation, where people will hurt you and rub it on your face. Where people will hurt you and walk around the next day as if they don't know what they did. Jesus warned that this is what we'll see in our time. Unfortunately, these things are in the Bible to guide us. But many of us are following the opposite of these things. So when you know that many will be offended in the last days, you do your best to avoid being amongst those many. Many means many, including in the church. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 4, Paul still spoke about this. Offended people that we will find. This know also that in the last days, perilous or troubled times shall come. Yes, go on. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That means many parents will be offended. Unthankful, unholy. How many of you have seen an ungrateful person? I don't know, but I hate ingratitude. I don't hate ungrateful people, but I hate ingratitude. Instead of them to be grateful, they feel entitled. Have you seen those kind of people before? Somebody told me today of a gentleman who bought a car for his wife, Corolla LE. You know what the wife said? Guess what she said? Thank you. Option A. Option B, I love you, my husband. Option C, you are the best thing that ever happened to me. Option D, none of the above. Exactly. The wife say, what will I do with Corolla LE? Is this not a taxi? Is this not the car that they use for taxi? He had to go and change it to another car. Why are all the women saying, I hope you will not be caught in that trap. I told the person that told me, I say, Kai la ila illa. You will drive that car till the car collapse. And after the car collapse, you will trek for 6 months. When you have learned to appreciate it, unkeke, I will change it. Thank God I'm not God. Amen. I won't tell you what happened with the story later. Amen. May you not marry wrongfully. Marry somebody that is grateful, man or woman. So, let's continue. It says, many shall be unthankful. Now, you are seeing things that are liable to make you offended. Right? Oh, but where is this guy? Okay, verse 3 now. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good, meaning they won't see anything good that you do. Those kind of people, you can't impress them. They are not perfectionists, they are just despisers of good. Those are two different things. Traitors. These are attitudes that will make you offended. It's warning us ahead that these things will manifest in our days. So be careful that these people don't get under your skin. Are you hearing that? He said they'll be heady, proud, even though now you pay their school fees. High-minded. So high-minded that no guy coming around them is worthy of marriage. And now they are 35. May you not be like that in Jesus' name. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of... All of these things are things that can lead to being offended. So that you are not caught in that trap. Let's go to the next outline. Let's look at common critical issues that lead to offenses. Common, in bracket, critical issues that lead to offenses or being offended. Common issues that lead to offenses or being offended. We are going to segmentize it into the following. We'll look at it under family. Is that bro AY? You're welcome, sir. Where's your wife? Okay. I'm suspecting you. Amen. It's bro code. You understand? Alright, sorry, let's continue. We'll look at it under family, that's marriage. You see, that's why it's good to come to church. The laugh that you have laughed already from the beginning of the service till now, you've not seen that laugh throughout the week. For free. Even comedians are charging for laughter now. One comedian said, just like the cost of living has increased in Nigeria, the cost of laughter has increased. So come and get it for free. Can we continue? We'll look at it under family and marriage. We'll look at it under relationships. We'll look at it under the church. We'll also look at it under society. Are you ready? Common issues that lead to offenses or being offended. Under family, first of all, we see children offended at parents and vice versa. Is that true? This is my father. He didn't even do anything at all when we were growing up. It's my mother that was selling akara to take care of us. Was just lazy. Didn't do anything. Now I struggled my way with my mother. Finished school. He's asking me when I want to get married. What's his business with my life? That's an example. Right? These are our parents now. What for them? Oh, she can't old school people be this now. We know if you come on, we know if you go flex again. Or here's another way to be offended. All my friends, they are giving them 50,000 minimum per month in school. Me, they are still giving me 10,000, 15,000. Which kind of house be this one? Daddy, it is say na una day. It is say na una day is when they give 100 naira, 200 naira. And then the father calls you again and say, my daughter, as you are going to school, please face your book, oh. Remember the future. You know, we don't have anything, but we have God. And we are praying for you. Take this 15,000. They will increase the size. Some may not do it physically, they'll do it in their heart. Say, all this long talk for 15,000. I beg you. How about a child who didn't grow up with two of his parents? Maybe he grew up with a single mom. The father was nowhere to be found. Or he grew up with the father, the mother was nowhere to be found. Causing that mother or father that was missing all their life, offended at them. You need to be careful with offenses. When you are continually offended at people, you are already being poisoned by the offense to become like them. Check anybody that insults any of his parents or despises any of them. They will grow up in life to be exactly like that person. It's also the other way, parents against children. Useless boy. Nothing you know. Nothing you know. Good for nothing. 2 years later, he brings the child to church and says, Pastor, no, my pikin need deliverance. Now your mouth put the spirit. There are some parents that you can't do anything to please them. There are some mothers that they will never say anything good about their daughters. You can't cook well, you can't wash well. For the ladies learning now, encourage her, no. God bless, the devil bless the lady. She's the one frying akara for breakfast on Saturday morning. The mother will go to the kitchen, look there. Now, wow. You shall say no suck oil. Eh? Some parents can do it so much that even in front of other people, outsiders, insult their children. They take pleasure in it. Come on, yeah, boy. Naso in me. And that's the child you give back to. Number two, under family, siblings that are offended at each other. Yes. It's my brother, we get money. No one give anybody money. You call line, no go even pick call. Go to do as if now only him get money pass. No worry. When I get my own money, eh? Listen, anybody you think has money, I'm also against stinginess. There are some who do that deliberately. But truthfully, anybody that you think is rich, they will not always have time. Because time is what you exchange for money. You can't have time and have money at the same proportion, na lie. Except you are a Yahoo boy. Even Yahoo, there are times you can't reach them. Maybe the guy is in a board meeting, a boardroom meeting, a business meeting, he's pitching an idea. Here comes his sister, who never calls except when she needs money. Calling the phone. The guy is now embarrassed because all the executives are looking at him. What kind of guy is this? Then he said, please, excuse me, let me just pick this call. Thinking it's an emergency, he takes the phone outside, picks. Hello, Alpha. Why you know the kid person call? Eh? If person, if you don't know, say person want to talk to you. Baba. Siblings offended at. Because of that, there are some siblings today that don't talk to each other. How many of you remember the story of Absalom in 2 Samuel chapter 13? Remember Amnon, the son of David, raped his half-sister, Tamar, who was the sister of Absalom. When Absalom came to Tamar, after she was disgraced and she was crying, you know, she tore her clothes and was crying. Absalom said, has Amnon seen you, my sister? And I asked myself when I was reading it this week, I said, how did he know? He asked the question as if the gist had already gotten to him. How did he know? That means from when Amnon was eyeing his sister, he was noticing the guy. He came to his sister, I say, the guy don't finish. No problem. And then the Bible says, Absalom neither spoke to his brother, good or bad. He was offended. And you know what he did with that offense? He plotted the death of his own brother. He told his servant, he said, at the middle of the feast, when I say strike, carry spear. Strike his heart, his own brother. Deceive the king. He said, I'm sharing my sheep in so-so town. I better come now. King said, no, I don't want to be a body to you. He said, okay, send Amnon. David was smart. David said, why will Amnon go with you? He said, no, let him go. He didn't know that he was plotting the death of his own brother. Amnon was the firstborn. He was supposed to be king after David. But because of an offended brother, cut off his destiny. Let's celebrate Evangelist Ella. Please bring her to the front, the chair in front. Thank you for being here, ma'am. Under family, we also have husbands offended at wife and wife offended at husband. You people became quiet all of a sudden. It's true. This is my husband. He never appreciates anything I do. And as little as that, it's not good to be ungrateful. And you know, women, their concept of being ungrateful is that you don't notice. To a woman, if you notice it 10 times, say it 10 times. Say it. Don't assume it. Say it. They want to hear it. Even if you send her money in the morning, in the evening, she's still angry with you. Why? You saw her hair. Sometimes, now your money even buy the hair. Amen. So men, when you understand that, you don't get offended when you see her throwing tantrums. You seen that? Because that can cause offense. You didn't notice her hair. You didn't notice her skirt. You didn't notice even the bangle she wore on her hand to say that it's fine. And then she's throwing tantrums. Then the man, instead of the man to come calmly and say, oh, what's up? You know, a woman is like Mercedes-Benz. You need special wisdom to know what's wrong with her. When a Benz just park, bam, in no green move. you need, or you get a machine to find out what's wrong. So if you come back in the evening and the woman is not talking, or she's just moving about, no honey time and all of that. You need skill. Like a snake to find out what is wrong. Once you greet a woman, you can tell whether there's a problem or not. Honey, good evening. Good evening. Problem there. Discern it there. Discern that problem. Because if you don't, and you just go to bed, she will lie down there. You lie down and sleep because you are tired. She'll just be looking at you. He can't even ask me. God bless you. The next day, your breakfast is supposed to be toasted bread. You will get burnt bread. So husbands being offended at wives, and wives also being offended at husbands. Some women are offended at their husbands because they don't treat them well. Some women are offended at abusive husbands. Some husbands are offended at nagging and angry wives. Some husbands are offended at wives. Any small thing, they go and tell somebody outside. Any small thing, they tell their mother. Number what now? Three. Number four. Relatives offended at one another. Relatives offended at... In fact, they can even go down to using juju. You know, when you are calling that uncle, or when they are calling you from the village, you know why they are calling them? Now money they look for. And you know, greed pick. They become offended. In fact, when it's time for your marriage, and you see some uncles burst out from nowhere who never existed, you know what they'll tell you? Your father, he stay for my house. Now for my room, he stay. They do that just to seek attention. And if you don't give them the attention and give them a place, they become offended. Some relatives can even be offended that your wife is pregnant, you didn't tell them. Are you a monitoring spirit? What do you want to do with the news? You bought a new house somewhere. Glory to God, you didn't tell them, they are offended. Relatives. And in Africa, it's a very serious issue because people go even into being diabolic. Those are common issues that leads to offense or being offended under family. You know, one example of relative being offended at relative was Judas and Jesus. That was what led to Judas betraying Jesus. Judas was from the tribe of Judah. He was called Judas Iscariot because he was from a town called Keriot. Keriot was a town in Judah. So he was a relative to Jesus. And he happened to be among the 12. You know, of all the crowd of disciples Jesus had, he had the 12. I'm sure Judas was offended, first of all, that Jesus did not make him among the three. Because even among the 12, Jesus had a closer caucus, the three. Judah felt as your townsman, as your language man, I suppose they there. Don't bring all these people where you don't know. Right? Then what was Jesus' position? Treasurer. Now me go keep money. But when you want to take major decisions, you not consult. It's just call me for money. Another offense. The Bible says that they were in a house. And a woman came with oil and poured it on Jesus. Judas said, why this waste? Offended person speaking. You know, that's a finished attitude with relatives. Why this waste? Sell the money and give it to the poor. The poor was him. Because when they sell it, they'll put it in the purse, and it was only the purse. And before it gets to the next poor person, it has. And Jesus rebuked him there. Jesus said, let her alone. She did it for my burial. You that have been with you, have you ever bought one cheap perfume from even Turare? You don't buy for me? The guy became offended. He left that place and went to the chief priest. Say, what do you want me to give? I will give you Jesus. I'll betray him. He was an offended person. It's just that when he finally betrayed Jesus and Jesus was arrested and he found that he was wrong, he could not rewrite his wrong. And then he hung himself. The only person trying to rise in your clan, you join to sell him. You join to kill him. May we never be amongst those who plot evil or conspire against others, directly or indirectly, in the name of Jesus. What do I mean by indirectly? You are there when they are talking against the person and you don't say anything. You are indirectly a conspirator. Or you try to play political. And you know, you don't want to defend the guy. At the same time, you don't want to lose them. So, you know those kind of people. Okay, let's even go to the next one. Relationships. Common issues that leads to offenses. Relationships. Under relationships, you have friends offended at each other. Some of them are even here now. The last two Sundays, they don't sit together again. One sits here, the other one sits there. Say amen. Ah. Friends offended at each other. As little as you didn't pick me to be your chief bride. It's an offense. All this time that we have been together, your bestie. Isn't it? There are some friends that you want to get married, you don't consult them, you are in big trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Friends offended. It's your birthday and you decide not to celebrate it. Why you no want celebrate them? You no want more chop cake? You no want more come your house? Offense. You also have under relationships, people in courtship offended at each other. Now that's really the devil. People in courtship, wedding date is almost fixed or has been fixed. Then you just look at the two of them and see small thing offending them. Have you seen that before? Small thing. Maybe he didn't call me. He didn't call me. Throughout the whole day, he didn't call me. Do you know whether he was busy? Do you know whether he was away from the phone? Do you know whether why he was busy was trying to make money for the two of you? He didn't call me. And that matter must be discussed before the sun goes down, before that day ends. He didn't call me. Glory to God. Offenses. Let's continue. I'm trying to be as broad as possible. When are you going to take me out? You didn't take me out on my birthday. Some people, it's as if they expect you to go and look for a saxophonist, stand there. They like drama. And if you don't do the drama, they're offended. That's why people in courtship should study themselves. Okay? Okay, he carries you to one restaurant and quietly proposes. Say thank you, but then later. Why? He should have stood in front of today's. Brought camera. Or he should have told me he was going to propose. I would have dressed fine. And called one of my friends to capture it on camera. Come on, proposal. Okay. Honey, let's not do bridal shower because the money we have will not be enough for send forth bridal shower, traditional wedding, and white wedding.
No, we must do bridal shower. No, we discussed it 2 years ago. We must do bridal shower. We must do bridal shower. All my friends that come in, all my...
I know that bridal shower thing, they go sew clothes. You get one kind of clothes with it, so you never see them. All right. You never see them. Drama, offenses. Under relationships, you have boss and employee. Some boss are narcissistic. They are narcissists. They wake up anywhere belay face. That's how their attitude is. They can be good today. They can be angry tomorrow. They're just like that. Even when Lenan discovered that he was the reason why that problem happened, to say sorry in front of his employees. Ah! I'm an Igala man. We know they talk sorry. Say, no problem. You have still done this. No. Hey, all right. This business is peace. You can go. Listen, let me talk to you. For those of you who have bosses in your office, be respectful to your boss. Be very patient with them. But if you notice a tyrant, somebody who's trying to make your life a living hell, one day, tell them what they need to hear. Nobody should insult you. Nobody should ridicule you. Nobody should threaten you, because you are as much an asset to that organization as they are. And if they think that you are dead, that your life is dependent on that job, you can resign and still live well and be profitable to another place. Don't disobey them, especially when it's within your JD. Don't be among the Aluta people in the, be respectful, do your job well. But when you just know somebody has employed themselves as an agent of the devil, employ my spirit. No, you can't try that. Somebody who is even your age mate, just because they place her over you as your line manager. No. Don't insult me. No. And if you're a boss, learn to respect your people. Listen, you see, we have a lot of professionals in the corporate world, trained in different fields as experts, but we lack leadership skills. Basic leadership skills. One of the greatest authors on a leadership book said something. He said that the first point of a leader is to define reality for his followers. The last point is to say thank you. Between that first point and the last point is to be a servant leader. Respect them. Treat them as assets. Be emotionally intelligent towards them. Sometimes when you see people at work just misbehaving and you know it's not part of them, they may be dealing with things you don't know. That lady may be dealing with a very, 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 very destructive marriage. Or everything is upside down. And it depends on you as the boss to give it. Sometimes if you are even at liberty, you say, you know what, you can't work like this today. Take the day off. Go home. That's if now you be the oga. You can even go as far as sending as small as 10,000 when the person has gone home. Just make sure you are fine and come back. Lead people. Don't create offended people under you. They will not be praying for you to leave the organization. Some people are wicked in an organization. When it's time for somebody to leave, they get another job, they send you reference check with your wicked hand like Haman. Anybody that tries to do that to you, may God punish them. Allow the person to go, they want to go. Allow them to go. Yes, you miss them, but allow them. Let them develop their career in another place. Have another work experience in another field. They send reference check. And then the person is wondering why he will pass an interview up to the point of check. And then everything just goes sublime. Because there's one wolf sitting there. No. There are some employees too. They are agents of devils. They are among the gossipers there. Once they come to the office, they can't sit on their seat. They will look for their clique of gossipers. They came late, then they will. There are some employees that are good liars, expert liars. Even if you draw that red line for late comers, they will find a way to smuggle their name there. Rat ate my shoe. That's why I didn't. Amen. Under relationships, even political relationships. All of you voted the man as senator. He goes there. Then some people pay him a visit in his office, expecting that the man will be siphoning money and giving to them. You know, sometimes we are the ones that make big men to steal. Tell them to give the people the dividends of democracy. Finish. Make sure we have everything that we should have according to the allocation that comes. No. Some people say, if you come visit, you don't give money, na stingy man. Then the politician that gives money that he stole, oh, he's a good man, we'll vote him. What of disagreements within political individuals? Because of one man's problem with another man, he would divide the political party, scatter it and work for another man. Abi? Offended. Because they didn't choose you. They chose another person as a flag bearer. And sometimes these are people who go to church and say, in Jesus' name. You know, Kai, I pray for myself, that when God starts connecting me with political people, I'll be bold enough to tell them the truth. You know those kind of people, if they don't have it, nobody should have it. Make it spoil. Number three, the church. Common issues that lead to offenses or being offended. In the church, we also have offended people. Brethren offended at one another. When I born, he no come see me. Or he can't see me, now only Omo, he carry come. But when the sister born, he carry bicycle go. He carry pampers go. Waiting, I want to use Omo. You know, no saying a pampers you go buy for me. Church convention is coming. Who is going to cook the rice? Oh, let sister so and so and so. No, now we they do and since now. Say, okay, this time around, you people be in the church. Let sister so and so and this one do it. Or let's contract it to another food vendor so that everybody can be in the church and receive. The person takes offense. And sometimes because of the small change, you know, when they buy tomato, for instance, for 200 naira and they put 500 naira, they siphon it and put. As small as that thing is, where they are getting their daily stolen bread from. Offense. Brethren against each other. Join ushering. Who and who they ushering? This person. Nah, lie. I know they join. You see workers quarreling with each other. Come for appraiser. This one is raising a point as if he wants to tear the whole roof. Why? What is it about you and this person? Offense. Or the Margi brethren versus the Bura people. God bless you. That church is the church where they used to transfer their pastors. You bring a Bura pastor, Margi people saying a lie. They know they bring Margi pastor, yeah? You send him and go, you bring a Margi pastor, Bura people say, why are we sidelined in this church? Brethren, if you see what brethren fight over in church, you wonder whether Jesus, before he comes, they'll lift a heavy tank of the blood of Jesus and pour it to wash us before he comes. If you see what brethren fight on, if you see what offends brethren, he pass me, no greet me. That's the end. Then when they, in church, months later, they start singing that Hausa song. What's that Hausa song? Everybody's shaking hand though. Once he just reached the person. Offense. You also, under the church, you have clergy and laity. The pastors versus the people. The pastors offended at the people. Why? During Pastor's day, they didn't buy car for him. What did they buy? Cooler. See, we just want to show you that we love you. There is nothing we can give to you that God has not blessed you with. But from the bottom of our hearts, they now present a 40 liters picnic box. Then the pastor just grows cold. See, wicked people. See them. This one packed GLK outside. This one packed Camry 2025 model. And they can't buy a car for me. Becomes offended. Right? Or the members offended at the pastor. Just like now, somebody's already offended at me. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, there was a brother in the church that Paul warned Timothy about. 2 Timothy 1 verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Go on. He said these two guys, they turned away, they conspired against Paul. And they conspired with some people in the church. In 3 John chapter 1 verse 9, John wrote about a guy called Diotrephes. Diotrephes was always antagonizing the pastors. The Bible says he loved to have preeminence among them. He was the one that was always leading a campaign against the pastors. Why can't we ask them questions? Why can't we scrutinize them? Do you know that people were offended at Jesus in his congregation? And the reason why they were offended at him was because, number one, of where he came from. In Mark chapter 6, when he went to Nazareth and he was preaching, they became offended. They said, who be this guy? No, be your father been there, yeah? Now your papa and mama there now. See in the house. When you learn carpentry work, we know you now. No, be your brother be this. See this, now this one, they're born after this one, this one after this one. And the Bible says they were offended at him. How can you come and say you are a savior? How can you come and say you are a rabbi? You, where we know you, when they wash your pampas, keep for you, they wash your napkin, keep here, they were offended at him. Some were offended at Jesus because of his sayings. John chapter 6. They say this is a hard saying. In fact, at some point, the Bible says some of his disciples turned and left him and never walked with him again. Just the way now many of us are offended at our pastors. Now, I understand that there are some deceitful pastors. I understand that there are some who have been taken over by self. I understand that there are some who have not displayed the character of maturity as is expected in the faith. But you see, one man's mistake should not be generalized, but should be learned from. There are many members offended at their pastor. Pastor thought, they say, he dey boast. Now let him get past. Pastor too, they take time. Pastor this, pastor that. And now with social media, has amplified the whole thing. A pastor rose up one time in his teaching and said, never trust the holiness of a poor man. And I decided to look at that thing without any form of bias. And in my own opinion, there was nothing wrong with that statement. Never trust. The word trust is what you should look at. But you see, when someone else already has a problem with that pastor, anything he does is painted black. Never trust the holiness. Trust is earned. You see, that's a problem in relationships. Love people unconditionally. Love people unequivocally. But don't trust people equally. Allow them to earn your trust. It is your love that gives them the platform to commit actions that will make them earn your trust. Even God does not trust all of us the same. That's why the measure of revelation that he gives to us are different. That's why the grace that he imparts on us are different. God would have looked at the intelligent one and given him more grace. But God does not trust him. He gave the one that was humble. So why? What is wrong with never trust the holiness of a poor man? He didn't say a poor man cannot be holy. He's saying that there must be conditions to check him to be sure his holiness is genuine. Never trust. He didn't say the poor man cannot be holy. Never trust the holiness of a poor man.
No, let's not be sentimental. Let's not be pessimistic. Let's not be fanatical, because it's not your pastor that said it. Look at it from a neutral perspective. The sign that you are mature is that you have a neutral perspective about the truth. Nothing wrong in what he said. He may have said other things that were wrong, but that one, and listen to the whole message. For me, there's nothing wrong with that. And I just pray God forgives everybody that took a swipe against that man, including some people who are supposed to be teachers of doctrine. Oh, that's another problem too under the church. Clergy versus clergy. Another pastor came and said, Jesus never visited a poor man. Now, actually, Jesus visited one poor man I know in the Bible. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus visited Peter. You remember? His mother-in-law was in his house. Was Peter a rich man? Peter rich. No be Peter, nine Jesus do miracle of fish. Peter was a poor man. So Jesus actually visited a poor man. His mother-in-law was in his house. And the Bible says Jesus held her and lifted her up, and the fever left, and she rose up and served them. So Jesus did visit a poor man. But the fact that that one statement is wrong does not mean everything the person is preaching is wrong. Even if the person is now discerned to be corrupted by something in their heart, why do we forget the good that they have done over time? How they have over the years established doctrine? Why do you throw aside the fact that this man is one of the people God has used to mirror a dimension to his church? That even those that now have money to buy mic and hit against him, it is because of people like him that God used as channels to bring that grace of prosperity to the church. I hope you know the person I'm talking about. One of the richest pastors on earth, and it's the truth. But do you know that as rich as he is, he doesn't have a private jet? If you really say his gospel is mammon, why has he not bought a private jet? He still enters economy and business class. And I love that man with the whole of my heart. In fact, recently the Lord told me that we should start praying for our leaders and our pastors. Sometimes, you see, you need to understand that men are men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is nobody that will not miss Yan one day. Everybody will miss Yan. Even me, when I finish this message now, I'll go back and watch it. I will see a lot of places where I miss Yan. You know what I do? I will just ask God for mercy. Avoid it next time and continue. If you like, gather the whole village, gossip me, you are on your own. Now God call me. Nothing concern me and you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Gossip me from Monday to Monday. God still say he go use me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why, listen, let's, men of God are men. They have a human side, they have a divine side. I'm not saying that so that we can permit lasciviousness and corruption, no. Let's stand against evil. Let's stand against immorality. Let's stand against greed. But listen, it's one thing for you to know somebody is bad from the root. It's another thing for another person to just be in error. James talks about correcting one who is in error. Read chapter 5 of James. And you know what's more disappointing? What's more disappointing is when people who are supposed to be custodians of truth, people who are supposed to be teachers of doctrines, are the ones inciting us to fight and to stab men that God raised. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Follow Christ before you follow me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And since now we don't know who is saying the truth or not, follow Christ first. What will I gain by bad-mouthing a man? If he was that bad, why did Jesus give him so much influence over the body of Christ? You are not talking about somebody who just started yesterday. You are talking about somebody who has a track record. If he's in error, we should intercede and pray. We can't lose this one. This is a plan from the pit of hell. In fact, the reason why Satan is attacking him to push him in error is so that many people can backslide and fall away. Lord, preserve this man. The Bible says an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul, and the Holy Spirit left him. What did David do? Did David raise people to say, this our king is now a demon, let's cast him out? No. David played the harp so that the evil spirit will go. Till the death of Saul, David called him the Lord's anointed. Be careful. Young people, be careful. You see the way we are joining to criticize these men, criticize, curse them, talk, put comment. You too, when you become a pastor and grow to that level, somebody else will swipe on you. God bless you, it's not your biological child. No, I don't know what, but especially young pastors. I laugh when I see a lot of young ministers like myself. You will grow old one day. Just like we consider them old school. Another generation will come with superior revelation and call us old school. You know why all these things are happening? Offenses, offenses, offenses. People are offended. People are angry. People are resentful. Listen, let me tell you. If somebody who never had a problem with you wake up one day and over a small thing creates a serious problem with you to a point where they don't mind that they will leave you, opposing you and fighting you, it's not just about that thing. No. Go and check. There are other bigger things that they've been keeping to heart. Other bigger things that they kept to heart. Absalom was angry with his father. This guy raped my sister. You didn't even do anything. So will I kill him and lose two children at the same time? And Absalom lost that in his heart till the day he came back to Jerusalem. David, you know, one man we should study in the Bible that was free of offense was David. Aside from the Lord Jesus, David. This guy kept the offense in his heart till he came back to Jerusalem. David was one that forgave him and said they should bring him back. He came back, gathered people, conspired against David. See the wickedness of the heart of a man. The Bible says he will go to the gate. And when people are coming to see David, he will block them. Say, hey, my papa don't the hold, you know, if he judge well. I wish I can judge your case. And he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And he conspired again. He went to battle against his own father. May we never be caught up with the Absalom spirit. Yeah. We'll pray today. In the society, common issues that lead to offense. I've spoken about politics. I've spoken about disagreement between tribes and all of that. In 2 Samuel chapter 20 verse 1 to 2, the Bible told us about a man called Sheba. David just survived the problem of his son Absalom. He was coming back to Israel as a fugitive. The whole Israel went to welcome him. All of a sudden, one disgruntled element called Sheba, he just stood up and said, hey, we don't have any place with David. All Israel, to your tent. Allow the man to breathe now. He just brought tribalism. Hey, this David, forget to acknowledge Judah people. All the Israel. There are some people that they will never see anything good about a government till somebody from their tribe will rule. Let's be honest. Some of these are politicians criticizing the government. And I'm not speaking because I am in any way affiliated to any of the ruling parties. No. I'm a registered voter, but I don't have any political party. But you can have. I know there are some here. But I wonder why they have never said anything good about the government of the day. Why? Are you saying all that the man is doing is bad? Even if it's 1 out of 100, celebrate that one first. Then criticize constructively the others. No. One called the country a crime scene. I hope when you become the president, the country will not be a crime scene. You know, that's how it is. In 2014, 2015, that's how they used to take out the party that was then. To them, they came now. So why do you think we should trust another person who is coming now? Let politicians be honest to say, okay, in this place, they did well. They did well. They did well. But you still need to fix this. You still need to fix this. If you just see somebody throwing arrows at a particular government, check the heart. Offenses. There's something inside. that has poisoned the person. God will deliver us in Jesus' name. Read about Jeroboam, 1 Kings chapter 11, who worked for Solomon. Solomon saw that he was intelligent. Solomon hired him, put him in charge of this and that. But because he was eyeing the throne, he went to see a prophet one time. The prophet said, you, now you go be the next king of Israel. And then the king pursued him away. When the king died and his son became king, he came back and gathered the people to revolt against that son. Why? He was offended. Why did he chase me out of the country? Because he didn't want me to be king according to prophecy. Many people have lost their sincerity. That's why they are offended. Many people have lost their neutrality. That's why they are offended. Signs of an offended person. Some of these signs are non-significant. Some are significant. Number one, resentment. An offended person carries about resentment. Not, he doesn't see anything good again. Number two, an offended person displays passivity. Have you noticed that person who's no longer coming to church? No longer coming for departmental meetings. He's now passive. It's like the proverbial chicken when they were all going for the animal meeting to pick who will be sacrificed. Chicken, you know they go, he say, no, anything won't talk there, I agree. He was scratching the ground looking for food. So when they went there, they now agreed that they'll be sacrificing who? Chicken. And nobody was there to speak against that because the chicken no day. And they say that's why today chicken is what they kill in 25th December. Passivity. It's no longer our church, it's now on our church. This thing that you are doing in this church. Watch that language. Because out of the abundance of the heart. Even you, watch yourself that you don't say that. You know what's funny? When I've labored to build something, and because I'm offended, I use my own hand to pull it down. Who is the big fool? Because of offense. What I labored to build is better, or at least you can make do with somebody who didn't do anything, but is just offended. But somebody who built from the scratch because of one little issue is offended. And then he either leaves the ministry, or whether he's there or he leaves, he ensures that he pulls down. Passivity. Please, those of you sitting at the back, I'm not saying this against you, but sometimes this philosophy is true. The person no longer sits at the front, he now starts sitting at the back. Passive. He comes to church or she comes to church at a time. Please, don't be offended, those of you at the back, but it's the truth. I've been a pastor for a little while and I have pastor as a father. Everybody's discussing in the group chat. They know they talk. You just see them, but no participation. Those are signs of an offended person. Passivity. Number three, rebellion. Open rebellion. They begin to fight authority. They begin to gather people against. They begin to try to convince people in their conversations against what is there. Number four, disloyalty. One of the signs of an offended person, disloyalty. This generation doesn't understand loyalty again. At all. Disloyalty. Number five, hate. An offended person is hateful. You know what hate is? Hate is the motive that leads to revenge. Hate is the motive that can transform a person to a murderer. Hate is the motive that makes somebody celebrate when other people go through what they go through. Hate is the motive that makes another person wish them evil. Hate. Those are signs of an offended person. Criticism. Especially when it is destructive criticism. Or slandering. What you call a campaign of calumny.
to malign the reputation of an individual. That's a sign of an offended person. When you just check comment section, when they are talking about a man of God, you just see it, the world is filled with a lot of offended believers. Somebody was in a church, he left the church, the first thing he does, he goes to sit down in front of one disgruntled media personality. He says he's doing interview, he's exposing. You are exposing what you contributed to build. I'm not against evil and compromise, but you were part of that thing when it was degenerating. Oh, they are manipulating. But that was the manipulating system that paid your salary for years. That gave you a footing for years. Okay, it's true that a lot of bad things are happening there. Can you at least be honest to tell us one good thing while you were there? Because if you don't have any good thing to say, including you, are evil. That's why sometimes some of those, you know what I'm talking about, those videos, I watch them with, I'm looking at that person, I'm saying, okay, yeah, you may be right, but why are you saying all this now? The worst is somebody leaves, somebody grew to the rank of a pastor. Then because of one thing or the other, he leaves. And guess what? He says he's no longer a Christian, he's a humanist. From skin cut, he now has Dada. You know who I'm talking about? That guy that rose up this year against one of God's servants. Okay, and let's say everything you said was true. But still be a Christian at least. No. Campaign of calumny. I saw one video last Sunday when I went back home that the Adeboye, he was talking in the video. Tears came out of my eyes. Only for me to check the comment section. Somebody say lies. Another one say that's how they are deceiving people. He said this is pure manipulation. I say, what is this? Why don't you see all that in the other side? Why is he with us? We need to fight this virus of offense. We need to root it out from our heart. Let's finish now. When somebody is offended, it can cause the following. Number one, it can destroy relationships prematurely. Destroy relationships. A simple issue that should have been sorted, you destroy the relationship. And then you don't even wait to reap from the relationship what you were supposed to. Acts chapter 15, you remember the story of Paul and Barnabas? When it was time for them to travel again, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Paul said, "Nah, lie, don't take John Mark." He left us the first missionary trip. And the Bible says they argued so much. Paul was so offended. John Mark was a young man, for crying out loud. Maybe he saw something in the mission field that made him run away. Paul said, "Nah, lie, yo." He was offended. Then Barnabas took John Mark, went another way. Paul took Silas, went somewhere. Guess what? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 11, many years later, Paul with his own mouth say, "Bring John Mark to me because he is profitable to me for ministry." Oga Paul. No, that's the preacher of grace. And I say this with all due respect to what he has done, but we are picking that side of his life to tell you that no matter how a person rises, that poison can enter them. Number two, an offended person kills the brotherhood. It kills the brotherhood spirit within a thriving community. An offended person kills the brotherhood spirit within a thriving community. Proverbs 18 verse 9. What does it say? It says an offended brother is harder to win. Is that it? No. Is it 19 verse 8? Check for it. It says an offended brother is harder to win. Please check for that scripture for me. Let's get it correctly. Number three, an offended person divides nations. Offended people divides nations. Igbo people, let's go our way. They don't like us in this country. Abi? That thing will not work. Can I tell you why? Whether I like it or not, it's prophecy.
Nigeria will only fulfill her prophecy as Nigeria. It will not work. Let me just tell you the honest truth. While I'm against being sentimental towards one tribe, I'm against tribalism. Tribalism. You know? One tribe is on the presidential seat and then he employs every other person. So I'm against that. But to say because of that you want to tear the whole country, na lie. Na lie. It no go work. It would have worked since. Have you gotten the scripture? It says, a brother offended is harder to be won, 18 verse 19, than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Number four, an offended individual can cause or can corrupt the soul of a church or a family. They can corrupt the soul of a church or a family by infusing bitterness, hate. Yeah, malice. When you find offended people in the church, that's what they'll be doing. They'll be causing, sowing seeds of bitterness, discord, malice in people. Before you know, you start seeing many people withdraw like them. Because they want other people to be poisoned with what is in their heart. May God rid us of offenses in the name of Jesus. Number five, offended people promote rebellion against authority. Jude chapter 1 verse 8 to 10. That's why members no longer believe in their pastors again. See, all these pastors, they are just deceiving people, eating their money. Huh? I said it before. I said, if you join people to rebel against your own pastor, secretly or openly, the day you need a prophetic voice to shift you from Egypt to the promised land, you will not find anyone. You have bad-mouthed the mouth that should have spoken you into your destiny. Nothing will work. The Bible says, because many people don't discern the Lord's body, it says some are weak, some are sick, and some sleep. It was not talking about Holy Communion. It was talking about discerning that every part of the body is important. Okay, so we pastors from this tribe, we pastors from this clan, we pastors from this denomination, we bad-mouth pastors from this other place. Okay, now you try to produce the dimensions of God that they are producing. That's the problem with the prophetic in the church now. You see what's happening in the prophetic? They have been so bastardized. And I know a lot of false prophets have come out. But sometimes we throw the baby and the bathwater. So prophets now, you know, they have become offended. They are resentful. So they are now forming a clique. Prophetic people in the body of Christ, they are now forming a clique. And if you are not in their clique, they will fight against you. They'll fight. They are fighting. That is also wrong. They are fighting out of their bitterness. And then you that is bad-mouthing the prophetic, you don't have eyes to see like them. You don't have accuracy in the prophetic like them. But you want us to hate them. In the day when we need an eye that can see, where are we going to find that one? I said this message for the body of Christ. I told God, I said, why should I preach this? I'm a small boy. He reminded me of Jeremiah 1. He said, don't say to me that you are a youth. May God, listen, may God not one day use your child, your two-year-old child, to correct you. Because all the adults in the house have their senses dull. When a prophet will not hear God, they're going to use a donkey. No, it's the truth. But listen, I don't do all those things happening. I'm not part of it, though. I don't even have too much time for social media. In fact, there are days in the week I don't see social media at all. When I go, I just receive and leave. Make on the fight. The Bible says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man. I collect from here, collect from here, collect from here, collect from there, unto a perfect man. You, there, they fight. Me, I'm collecting unto perfection. It's your business. You say, hey, this one is not of God. He has an evil spirit. No problem. When we get to heaven, we'll be surprised. We'll be surprised. Because that prophet that you hated, you will see him standing with Jesus, gisting. Oh, then you righteous man now. Oh, yeah, I can't talk. I'm just using the prophetic as an example. And those of you that are into the prophetic, and every minister called into the prophetic, please heal from the offense. Yeah, you know, it's only false prophet you have in the Bible. There's also false teachers, but the one we have been hammering on more is prophets. And we have joined the fake and the real together. But I speak to everyone that is called into the prophetic, please forgive and move on. Bring healing with your gift. Don't join any clique and say we'll fight back. No. When Peter wanted to fight back for Jesus, what did Jesus say? Put your sword back to the shed. John and James came to Jesus. This city, they don't like you. Can we call down fire on them? They just wanted everybody to endorse Jesus. In fact, if you didn't endorse Jesus, you were a devil. You were an antichrist. Listen, Master, we saw one not calling your name and working miracles, but he followed not with us. And we forbade him. Jesus said, what is your problem? Must we all belong to one tribe? If he's not against me, he's gathering for me and with me. Why can't you see somebody in another place and respect them and honor them? We are all serving one master. He employed some at the beginning of the day. He employed some at the sixth hour, some at the tenth hour. All of them different groups, but they were serving one master. What is wrong with the church? It's more painful when people that you look up to are the ones fronting this campaign. I pray I don't ever get to that point. I pray I don't ever get there. Am I saying that we should not call fake fake? Of course there are fake amongst us that we should call out. When somebody say, I have this power, I have that power. This one will come out next year. Where did that come from, sir? Where did that come from, sir? No. Huh? No. Call a spade a spade. Call a shovel. Yeah. But to do it because you are offended, no. You are also poisoned with the same bitterness. You know what Peter told Simon the sorcerer? He said, for I perceive that your heart is poisoned with bitterness. It's not really because you want this power. It's because you felt that Philip came to your city and stole the crowd attention from you. You pretended you are born again, hoping that one day you'll get the secret of his power and steal back the crowd. He said, repent. Bitterness everywhere. May God have mercy on us. And yet, this is the generation that will usher Jesus. That's why God is using young people. People who don't even know anything. Because sometimes we have known so much, it has made us puffed up and we are dividing instead of building. And then, you know, we can quote scriptures to support that. After all, Jesus said, I came with a sword. Quote it in the context of what Jesus was saying. Don't quote it to side your campaign to destroy the body Jesus died for. Listen, if your hand is swelling up and has a problem, will the whole of your body hate your hand? If the whole of your body is feeling a pain that is coming from your hand, is it the fault of your hand? Something has infiltrated that the whole body should join and fight that thing and restore the hand. But the whole body is saying, cut the hand so that we can be free. That's what we are doing. That is what we are doing. Are we ready to pray? How do you heal from offenses? Well, let's do how to deal with offenses. I told you it was a very long teaching. How to deal with offenses and offended people. Quickly. Number one, practice forgiveness and forbearance. Practice forgiveness and forbearance. Forgiveness, I release you. I forgive you. You did wrong, but I forgive you. Forbearance, I know that you are human. So I prepare more accommodation in my heart. In case you do the same thing tomorrow, I will still forgive. I'm angry, but you are still my brother. Forbearance. Husband and wife, practice forbearance towards one another. You will see a man hate his wife. I heard that there are some men praying that their wife should die. When did it degenerate to that? You that used to stand at Love Garden in Unimed and declare your love to the damsel. 2 years after marriage, you are praying, wishing in your heart that she should die. Oh God, you and the devil have become cousins. Repent. Yes, she did bad. Yes, I understand. That will be corrected. But to get to a point where you wish her evil to die, that means if God no kill him and God give you knife, you'll be the first. And as you are killing, say, God, hope the blood of Jesus will wash my sin. Yes. I watched one film one time, a woman went to hire a hitman, you know, this assassins. Say, I want you to kill my husband. Why? He has a lot of money. I want to inherit all the money. He doesn't allow me to be free to do what I want. And she didn't know that the assassin was a cop who pretended to be an assassin, a police. Practice forgiveness and forbearance, even in church. Pastor to your members, forbear with them. Forbear with them. Forgive them. Members to pastors. Ah! And we are talking about Nigeria changing. When the church is still in... the church has more problems than Nigeria. You know this song? Lord, make us instrument for your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instrument of your peace. And walls of pride and prejudice shall cease. When we are your instruments of peace. We'll sing it at the end. Practice forgiveness and forbearance. Number two, seek peace. Seek peace. Not war. You know, somebody say, I'm not a man of peace. I'm a man of war. I'm the fight. And that is him, but you seek peace. Amen. Seek conflict resolution. Remember Matthew 18 verse 15. Jesus said, if your brother sinned against you, don't wait for him to know that he sinned against you and come and beg you. Swallow your pride. You go to him. Are you a fool that you go to somebody who offended you? No. It's because you seek peace. And Jesus said, that's how you prove that you are children of your Father in heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The children of God. Seek peace. Joseph forgave his brothers and sought peace with them. Hear what Joseph told his brothers. They came and tried to use lie. Because Jacob was dead and they knew that this guy can wake up one day and kill all of us. They say, your father, before he died, say that you should forgive. Joseph say, ah. He say, am I God? Yes, you did me evil before. But can we put that behind us? Seek peace. Be peaceful. There are some people that have turned their home to a lion's den. Even when everybody wants to be peaceful, you are the only one that will have mood swings. And swing everybody left, right, center. Then when you don't scatter everything, you walk out. This is the day of joy. That day of joy. Thank you. There are some of us that have quarreled with everybody, all the neighbors. Now you have advanced into the street. You are quarreling with everybody one by one. Be peaceful. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drinking, but in righteousness, in peace. In peace. God cannot move in a home where there's no peace. Husband fighting everybody, beating everybody, including his. What is wrong with you? What? Oh my God. The greatest abuse of a man is when a man resorts to violence in his own home. You are there to model God as father, as husband, but you are now giving a wrong impression of God. That's why some of us young singles, you better control your anger now. You better control your anger now. Because the way you are, you can't, any small thing, you can't leave it. Just because the usher spoke anyhow or the usher directed you to one seat, you keep that in your heart for months. When you get married, it don't take 6 months before you throw a slap to your husband. Do you think David would have, David thought he was going to kill somebody and inherit his wife? Seek peace. Number three, build a healthy social community. What do I mean? make sure that you have a community, a church, a family that fosters interaction. Let there be interaction in the home. Allow for people to talk. Build a friendly environment for people to talk. It is when people interact with one another that they can be open to say, you offended me yesterday by this thing, but you know what? Let's put it behind us. Build a healthy social community. Number four, prayers and intercession. I'm telling you, we need to pray for offended people. Intercede for them. So that the devil does not use them to destroy others and destroy them after everything. Intercede for yourself, your home, that will not end up as offended people. Before you leave a church, make sure you rid yourself of offenses. Okay, don't rid yourself of offenses. Now don't forgive them. Shebi una dey go heaven. Una go meet for heaven now. Number five. Now this one is for an unrepentant, offended person. When a person wants to stay offended, number five, how do you deal with such a person? Avoid them. Avoid, ostracize them. Romans 16, 17 to 18. Paul say, mark those who are divisive and avoid them. You can't please them. Beg them, they no agree. You do everything, they still remain offended. Don't kill yourself, they are not Jehovah. Leave them. Leave them. It's a way to love people. One of the ways to love people is to avoid them. Because if you keep staying around them, you'll be poisoned with that thing. I don't know how offended people live. How do they live? The kind of war in your heart, and you speak in tongues on top of that. Hallelujah. Thank you for your patience. Finally, how to heal from the wounds of an offense. How to heal from the wounds of an offense. Number one, turn to the Lord. Pour out your heart to Him. How do you heal from the wound of an offense? Somebody has wounded you, offended you. You need to turn to God quickly. Let Him pour out His love in your house. In your heart, rather. Let Him take away that thing. If not, it will poison you and make you an evil person. Number two, forgive. 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 Forgiveness is what heals the wounds of an offended heart. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You see, the process of forgiving a person is hard. That's why when you are in that process, it becomes more painful. Because you remember everything that they did to you. So think of it like when somebody has an injury and they are dressing it with spirit, with iodine. Is it not more painful? It is more painful. But that's the process that will bring healing. I tell people, you don't forgive people for them. You forgive people for yourself. You can't continually carry this wound in your heart for years. And it's destroying your soul. You are degenerating into a broken soul. Very soon you will not even have emotions. You will not even have empathy, human empathy. No compassion for people. You become a narcissist. Nobody wants to hang around you because you have become poisoned. Because a wound that does not heal will become rotten. Forgive people, not for them, for yourself. Heal your soul. Ephesians 4 verse 32. That's the scripture for point 2. Forgive. Number 3. Fellowship constantly with the Holy Ghost. Yes, so don't just speak in tongues. Many people speak in tongues and don't know the Holy Ghost. Let me be honest with you. Many people speak in tongues and don't know the Holy Ghost. Many pastors speak in tongues and don't fellowship with the Holy Ghost. You know what fellowship is? Communion, oneness, interaction. Where the Holy Ghost, if you are offended at somebody, if you go to Him, that's the first thing He will point out. You remember during the basic leadership training, when it was Pastor Priestley's session, the first thing He said was ask for forgiveness. That when you are conscious of your relationship with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, He'll point out that little thing. But when you don't fellowship with the Holy Ghost, you just, all you have is your capital letter tongues. You'll be speaking in tongues and plotting evil against somebody. Is that not what we have in church? You see some elders plot how to transfer their pastor secretly and they'll come to church and sing him together. Just as I am without one plea. And they plotted yesterday. Hypocrites. After that hymn, they will go after service. They are going to the other elder's house to continue the plot. They are so skillful in plotting the downfall of people that they know that for people not to suspect them, they do the meeting from house to house. If you're an elder like that in the church, repent. Don't be swallowed up by other people's offenses. Let's be elders in the church, not by age, but by character and maturity. 55 is still offended. 65. You still hold on to small thing. And when you have leadership of churches that are blind not to detect these things in people, when you detect that kind of thing in an elder, secretly rebuke him. And if he refuses to repent, step him down from that position. Let him be humble enough to repent before God. One of the signs of being an elder is that over the years, your heart has become like flesh. Broken enough before God. Susceptible even to the slightest offense. And because you want peace with God and peace with men, that's what it means to be an elder. Not the evil elders that will sit and be plotting their pastor's transfer because of one small thing that happened. Shame on you. That's the kind of person now that you hear this message and say, hey, this small boy is just talking, no problem. You see, offended people, you do nothing good before them. If you are not ashamed, you listen to the rebuke and repent. Number four, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Some people feel that if they don't talk them as if they pain them, talk them as if they pain them is sin. Because you will not avoid vulgar language. You will not avoid insult. Or you will aggravate the emotion of the other person. Speak the truth in love. That's why if somebody does something to you and you are angry, go to God. He's the heart fixer. I, the Lord, searched the heart. He knows what to do to your heart to take the pain away. So that when you approach the brother, you are constructive in speaking the truth because it's coming from bowels of love. You don't hate him. You hate the issue. And you prefer to win your brother and trash that issue. Not that you hate your brother and hate the issue. Speak the truth in love. I go talk and the way they... No, sir. No, ma. You are going to cause more trouble like that. Many people have destroyed relationships that they've not even profited from because they want to talk him as he be. Speak the truth in love. Finally, how to avoid the poison of offenses. Number one, embrace godly virtues. Colossians 3 verse 12 to 13. Embrace godly virtues. One of the godly virtues you must embrace is meekness. 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 What is meekness? Somebody say humility. Partially. But more importantly, meekness is when you are not easily offended. Is it possible, Apostle? Yes. A man that has allowed God to so break his heart, not in a negative sense, but to rid it of evil. A man that embraces the word of God to his heart. Anytime he does something in his heart, his scriptures will start convicting him. That's the kind of person. Embrace, that's meekness. You are not easily offended. And then you don't easily offend others. You know, there are some people, the moment you tell them that this person did something against me, the people will defend the person. You know why? Because they say, no. Not this one? No. This one can't even kill a fly. What did he do? Even if he did wrong, they will apologize on behalf of the person. Why? Because they've seen the virtue of meekness. Listen, being meek is not downplaying your masculinity. You know the problem with some men, the reason why they can't have a soft heart, the reason why they can't allow God break their heart is because they feel that they will be emasculated. No, sir. Having ego does not make you a man. It's the truth. When you see a man driven by his ego, he's a foolish man. And I don't mean that as an insult. It's the description of a state. Because men are not controlled by their feelings. Men are reasoning and logical beings. So it's the truth that controls them. You are not less a masculine when you are meek.
Number two, practice forgiveness and forbearance. Realize that it is human to err, so don't be disappointed. Number three, walk in love. Colossians 3:14, 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Walk in love. Walk in love. As a pastor, walk in love. Love with another pastor. We may not be together, but love them. Pray for them. How many pastors badmouthing another pastor or calling out another pastor has ever prayed for that pastor? No, let's be honest. And let Jesus be the judge. That man that they insulted, that said Jesus never visited the poor, I've been praying for him. Because I know something about influence in the body of Christ. When God gives you influence, the devil will be fighting for your mouth. You will not know the day you say something out of your mouth and say the wrong thing. But that you said the wrong thing doesn't make you a wrong person. No, truthfully, I've been praying for that man and I love him till tomorrow. I love him till tomorrow. I sow into his life. I love him. Anytime I see him, I'm excited. Who cares about what the people say? See people just calling out. Perhaps they've never known love before. If you see people who call out, go and check their church, check their spiritual community, check their spiritual family. All of them are the same. You'll not find forbearance there. You'll not find love. You'll not find the spirit of brotherhood. That's a place where you do anything small, they will knife the life out of you. Now the people in that community now feel it is normal to live like that. No, sir. There are some fathers in this country that I thank God for. Every criticism against them, they've never come out to reply. There's one from the South calling out one of our father of faith again and again and again. Oh, you said that if you don't pay tithe, you know. So the man came out and said, I'm sorry. If you are bold enough, you too come out and say, okay, the man has proven to be a Christian. This is Christian character. He apologized. Let's clap for him. Now lie. He preached his service and did as if he didn't see that one. And you expect me to listen to that one because he has DR in front of his name? What kind of DR is that? I hope you know I've not called any name. It's like the pot that they used to cook party rice on top firewood is calling kettle black. Who black pass? No, it's the truth. Since you're always calling out evil. Oh yeah, if the person do good, say it. But since we are looking for followership, we no longer trust God to give us influence. We are now looking for fan base. You know the problem with preachers in Nigeria? We are too focused on social media. We are watching social media too much. So we are intimidated by another person's influence. That's why. If all the preachers in this country can shut down from social media for 1 month, you'll be hearing healthy, purified messages. And yet we'll come out and behave as if now we holy pass. But now we are more addicted to social media than our members. And yet we'll come and preach to them as if they are the ones sinning. It's the truth. Many preachers are on social media. You hear a pastor come out and say, Kasongo, yeah, yeah. That means he's watching YouTube well. How do you know Kasongo? The Bible says in 1 Peter 4 verse 8, love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love is God though that said it. Love covers a multitude of sin. A multitude of what? Sin. Covers it. I'm telling you the truth. If they can collect the phones and devices of all preachers in Nigeria for just 1 month, the Nigerian church will be purified. Because the things that corrupt our eyes and our minds will be taken off. Are you ready to pray? Number four, keep your heart clear of offenses by walking in the Spirit. Keep your heart clear of offenses by walking in the Spirit. Keep your heart clear of offenses. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. And then number five, avoid unrepentant, offended people. Avoid them so that they don't poison you. If you see a preacher who is always speaking out of offense, avoid him. Avoid him. If you see a woman who is always speaking out of offense and you are a wife, avoid her. Pray for her. It's not her fault. Many things have happened to her. But don't stand with her. Don't treat those people as your friends. You are a choir member. Avoid an offended choir member that refuses to repent. If not, you will join his league. And two are better than one. You are a pastor. Avoid an offended pastor if they refuse to repent. You are an employee in a bank. Avoid an offended employee. Can we stand to our feet and pray? Are we blessed tonight? Please rise on your feet, lift your hands, and just give God praise. It's been a long teaching, but I believe God is speaking to his body. It's time for the church to seek healing. It's time for the church to rid itself of offenses. Thank the Lord that we are hearing this tonight. I live for you, O Lord, every breath I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your, start from the beginning. I give you my heart, Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you, Lord. Every moment on the way. Lord, I want you to hold the hands of somebody, just two. We are going to pray for the church, the body of Christ. And we are going to say, Lord, purge the church of offenses. Purge us from offenses. Take away this monster, this poison called offenses. And heal those amongst us who are offended. Please open your mouth and pray. Pray with the last strength that is in you. Sobra tele me kola bahas kapra teke le gabahasikai. Lekre teke libahashambra na lahata lamakatea. Leke brasabana hada. Purge our heart of offenses. Heal those amongst us who are offended. Take away this evil from our midst. The Bible says in the last days many shall be offended. But by this shall all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another. And love covers a multitude of sin. Pray for every church, for every ministry, for every Christian community, every Christian organization. Pray. Sola barata keta balakita bandosa. Nembre tekito roboko saprande kelege bahai. Shabarata kela barakasai. In Jesus' name. Hold another person. You are going to pray for your family. Lord, heal my family of offenses. Heal anyone that is offended. Take away the poison of offenses. Open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus. There are brothers who no longer talk to each other again. There are siblings that are angry with each other.
There are relatives in family that are at war. They will not even as much as receive a cup of water from the other person. Pray for your family. Pray for your family. Heal us of offenses. Heal offended people amongst us. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for those in the villages. Pray for those in the cities. Pray for those in other countries. You that are watching at home, pray for your relatives. Pray for that offended uncle. Lord, heal their heart. Salamande barakato la mosia. In Jesus' name we pray. Now we are going to pray for our pastors and our leaders. Paul told one of the churches, Ephesians, I believe, he said, pray for us. Before we start bad mouthing pastors, how much time have we used to pray for them? Don't you know the devil is after them? The Bible says we should pray for kings and those in authority. Why? He says so that we can live quiet and peaceable life. Does that look like what we are enjoying in Nigeria? No. So maybe what is missing is that we don't pray for them. We don't pray for them. Any government that the church in that country doesn't pray for, they will do badly. No matter how intelligent they are. You are going to open your mouth in the next 2 minutes. We will pray for our pastors and our leaders. Now, while we are praying, some of you will need to forgive your pastors. Forgive your leaders, your boss in the office. Your local government chairman, your party chairman, as you are praying, be forgiving them so that the prayer can go to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some wives need to forgive their husbands because husbands are the leaders, the head of the home. Cool? Lift your voice in 2 minutes. Pray for pastors. Pray for leaders. Lord, help them to avoid offenses. Help them to be free of offenses. Heal those among them that are offended. Please pray. Lift your voice and pray. Pray for them. Lord, guide their hearts against offenses. Help them to practice meekness. Help them to not easily offend. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, we are going to pray for an outpouring of love. The outpouring of God's love upon our heart. Romans 5 verse 5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit that He has given to us. Lord, in this season, let there be an outpouring of your love in our heart. Some people have been poisoned with bitterness that they don't even believe in love. You tell them I love you, they suspect you. Some people don't know what love is. You tell them I love you innocently, they think you want to date them. Can you lift your voice and cry for God to pour out His love again? Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instrument of your peace. And walls of pride and prejudice shall cease. And when we are your instrument of peace, Lord, make us instrument. Lord, make us instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love be clean, oh Lord, Lord, of your peace. And walls of pride and prejudice, shall see when we are your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm sorry I had to rush the prayer because we've stayed long enough and we have to go. Before I make another call, I want you to know that I didn't preach this message with hate for anybody. I have repented again and again all through this week. In fact, till now, I consider myself unqualified. But God has to get the message out. Let's not allow offense, bitterness, malice, all of these things to poison us. The Bible says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love. Let's bring healing to the church. A lot of fight everywhere. No peace anywhere. It's the church that will bring the end of that. When you go back to your office, practice love. Practice forbearance. Be a catalyst for change. In your political party, in your local government, in your church, in your family. The problem is many of us are expecting the other person to realize their error and come back. It is okay for that. But while you are praying for them to realize it, love them. Pray for them. Listen, Jesus said, do to others what you want them to do to you. Before you ask for love, sow it. Before you ask for forgiveness, you sow forgiveness. Let's be what we want people to do to us. Listen, it doesn't downplay your masculinity as a man. If you practice meekness, forgiveness, love, if you beg your wife even when she's at fault, it doesn't make you less a man. No, 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 no. Be a father that can tell your children, I am sorry. Model it to them. When they see it in your life, that's what they will do outside. Let's stop all this selfishness. We dealt with self last week. All this holding to ourselves and all of that. As if church has become a struggle for freedom fighters. No. Do you think if we continue like this, this is the church Jesus wants to come and rapture? Some people are even praying that Jesus should not rapture the other person. No. 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 And hear me. I pray for those of you who have been heavily offended. Those of you who they have trampled on your right. Those of you who they have robbed you of justice. Those of you that are bleeding for years in your heart. Some of you have been offended by bad leadership in churches. That's why you no longer believe in pastors. In fact, that you stayed in this service to this time, it was a miracle. On behalf of the bad, corrupt leadership of the church, on behalf of the mistakes of pastors, let me say to the body of Christ, we are sorry. We are but men. We are but men. And I pray for those who have been offended that God will heal your heart. In the name of Jesus. That you will not become a victim of what you are campaigning against. There's a president of a country. Before he was elected, they kept fighting him. They even tried to assassinate him. And I like the way, all through his campaign, I like the way he went about everything. Due process. Now he's in power. And nobody can put a check on him. He's just doing everything the way he wants. I hope you know what I'm talking about. That God said he will be president doesn't mean that God said that's how he will be president. You're throwing all the migrants out of your country. Is it not migrants that made that country the way it was? There are some jobs that the real citizens of the country will not do. It's migrants that will do it. There are some countries that migrants are the one that builds the economy. In fact, I pray for that leader that God will raise people around him that will tell him to his face, he's becoming too rash. You are now becoming what you fought against. I also prophesy that he will be in sin, but that's not what God said he would do. That's like Jehu in the Bible. killed all the worshippers of Baal. He now brought idolatry. It's a message to the president of America. He should remember that God took him there. God spared his life. Not so that you go there and fight your enemies, but that you love them and practice justice. It's a message to the president of America. Even his own friend that was with him, because of one disagreement, they are fighting. What kind of a leader are you that nobody can tell you are wrong? No, sir. Don't become what you fought. Cut it and paste it. Let him see it. The problem is that the people who are around these people, they only go there for money and for fame. Let it be that I prophesied into power. Nobody has the balls or the guts to correct them. Father, we thank you tonight. I love him, oh, I still love him. He will still do good. Impeaching him will not be the solution. But he should work with equity, justice, and fairness. The parliament are there to checkmate you. Have people on your team that disagree. And listen to their disagreements. Try to reason with them. Even God said, let us reason together. Anybody that says anything against you, start fighting them. What kind of a, why are you now fight? Why are you becoming what you fought? May God help the church. Lift your hands. Father, tonight we ask that you bring healing and restoration to the church. Father, we pray that this message will go far. Yes, this is the kind of message that should go viral. Because we are tired of hearing people fighting one another. We need messages of healing, of correction, of love. And I pray, Lord, that everyone that will listen to this message in 1 month time, 2 months time, 10 years from now, may they be broken in their heart and brought to repentance. We thank you for healing and restoring us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Would you clap your hands for Jesus? Hallelujah. Can I make an altar call before we go? If there's anybody here who wants to surrender to the Lord Jesus, or you feel convicted by this message, please repeat after me where you are. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my sin. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. If you made that prayer, you are born again. You have been restored back to the faith. You now have peace with God. Please wave your right hand. Let me see you if you made that prayer. I want to just pray with you. Wave your right hand. Yes, I see a hand there. Please wave your hands. Can you pack your bags and your Bibles and just come here quickly to the front? I want to pray with you. Please come unashamedly. Let's give them a big God bless you as they come. It will not be complete if after this message one soul is not saved. Please come. Don't be the last. I saw a hand there. I saw a hand waved there. Please come. Let's keep clapping till they all come. The Bible says there is joy in heaven when one soul repent. Repentance is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands and pray for this soul. If you need to join him, please do that quickly. You that is in front, please lift your right hand as a sign of surrender. Father, we declare his sin forgiven. Declare him born again. Restored back to fellowship with you. Victory over sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave is given to him from today. He will serve you all the days of his life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Look at me, those of you in front. Thank you for making this wonderful decision. Your life has changed. All right? I'm going to hand you over to our counselors. They will have a word with you before you go. Just turn to the left and wave. Follow the lady waving there. Just go straight to her and she'll lead you to our counselors.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.